You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you should love the Lord, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. This quote that Jesus gives is directly from the first reading, which is in the Jewish history, Jewish religion is considered the highest of all commandments that they would have noticed, called the Shebna Israel, which is basically means, and they make it so important, they say that the prayer every time they pray, three times a day, they would use this as prayer. They would often have it written in scrolls and tie it to their wrists or tie it to their head. And they would have it written in scrolls and have it nailed to the posts of their doors. A reminder of the right relationship with God. Right relationship with God. And that this keeping this right relationship with God is a forefront of what Jesus is saying. Now Jesus adds on the relationship not only with God, but with one another. That we get through that. And Jesus takes this on and takes it one more step forward and takes the relationship with one another. And so it reminds me, recently I heard a talk, and we were talking about right relationship, friendship, and the value of friendship, how friendship is not just an addition to our life, a nicety, but that friendship is a core and integral part of who we were created as human beings. That we were called to be in friendship with others, called to have this ongoing friendship with lots of people. The speaker went on to quote Aristotle's Levels of Friendship, which I thought is really helpful and insightful. And if you remember how you might remember years back from your Aristotle philosophy, but there's three levels of friendship in Aristotle philosophy. The first one is that of utility. The second, and that of pleasure. And the final one is that of what he calls true friendship. Is this true friendship? Now, the first one is utility, is that we do things for one another. Like, I'm good to you, and you do things for me, and I do things for you. It's mutually beneficial. But we're utilitarian. We're using each other's gifts for our own benefit. Then the next level is that of a friendship. I enjoy spending time with you, and I like that time. And there's great joy comes from that. And of course, the ultimate, the pinnacle of that level of friendship is that of marriage. You spend the rest of your life together, and it's enjoyable for life. The third level, the deepest level of friendship, is that of true friendship, and it's based on virtues. Is that you bring out the best version of myself, and that I bring out the best version of you, and us spending time together, we bring out the best in each other, and that's the true friendship, that we are good for each other, that we actually make ourselves better. Now, Aristotle bases on the virtues and the four virtues that he would, what we call the cardinal virtues, he would have used them. It's, first of all, it's prudence, then justice, temperance or moderation, and then what we call courage, what then would have been called fortitude. So just let's cycle through those for one moment before we get to the other virtues that we have added on as Christians. But these four virtues are important, and Aristotle figures that these are the cornerstone of true friendship. That for example, is that that I do what's prudent. It's not just I think it through, and I realize this is good for you and it's good for me. That this is mutually not just utilitarian, but it's making you a better person and it makes me a better person, so I choose to do it. It's one of focus on my own behavior rather than on external. And then comes justice. Justice tends to focus on the other. I do what is right for you, and I'm prudent about how I do it. But I do the just thing, not just for myself, but for you as friend and others. And then comes moderation, or what the word would be temperance. is that I don't just spend endless hours with you because I can. Moderation says I should do only a certain amount because, well, that's moderation. It's temperance. I moderate myself so that I can enjoy it more when I do. Or whether we have too much of a good thing is the language we've often used. And then the last one is one I think is probably largely lacking in so many friendships, and that is courage or fortitude. What that means is that I'm going to say something to you that's really difficult to say. I'm going to take courage to challenge you to say, Joan, this is the way I'm seeing things. This is what I'm hearing and experiencing. Knowing well, this is very hard to hear, but I do it out of love for you, out of friendship. And that I require that courage from you in my life. Now, as the four of those sort of virtues, is you can understand how readily your friendship, true friendship, has a beautiful cycle of a virtuous cycle. That you do that for me and I do that for you. We would all be better people if we did that for one another. That's why it's still today, several thousand years later, it's held up as a model of true friendship. But today's gospel and the first reading go one step more for true shepherd, true friendship. And what we call the theological virtues. There's three more virtues we add to those original four. And that's faith, hope, and charity. And what we hear today is all about this charity, this love. Now, what we might think of is that while the four cardinal virtues are one of the agent, the actor in this, is us as human beings. In the theological virtues, the agent is God. Is that it's a divine reality first, and then ours is a response to that divine reality. In other words, that today's readings are about the God first loves us, and that if we can experience it, I mean, if we can really experience it, then we would be impelled to love in return. Now, here's the hard part for people to. There is nothing that we can do that could make God love us any more than he already does. Now, I'm going to repeat that again because that sounds strange, but it's true. There's nothing we can do that will make God love us any more than he already does because he loves us already so much. And we have the abundance of love. But here is where it is, by us loving him, then we could come to understand and truly experience God's love in our own heart. And when our heart really feels and experiences that love, then we're completely overwhelmed. And in return, we love God in return, in response, because we feel an absolute need to respond like that. And what Jesus adds along and says, and to do that, you have to love your neighbor. Because you can't just love me without loving my neighbor, because that's who I created all these people around you. So to do that, you have to do love your neighbor. Now, here's what's really extraordinary part of this gospel. And I don't want us to miss it because it's a bit of a zinger and you may have missed it. Is when the scribe turns around. Now, bear in mind that the last couple of Sundays, there's been a questioner to Jesus each time. Now, this scribe is not unlike those. They were seen to be duplicitous. This one Jesus seems to recognize as a genuine person. He says, you have answered all things well. So, think how bold it is. He says to the master, oh, good response, Jesus. That's really good. You got it right. To love your Lord. You can almost see it. And Jesus doesn't scold him. He just simply says, wow, you do. You are, now here's the zinger. You are not far from the kingdom. You should have heard that. He didn't say you are or you have received the kingdom of God. He said you are not far from the kingdom. He didn't tell him you got there yet. So what's the distance? What's keeping him? What's holding him back? And I tell you, it's action. He says understanding is not enough. We must act out of our understanding. We must love one another. And that's why it becomes this incredible commandment. So here's the thing for us. I could say to all of you, you are not far from the kingdom of God. All of you. Because none of us We all know the message. Nobody here, what I've just told you this morning is not news to you. We've all heard this before. We know the commandment of Christ. So we all know it. But the question is, have we acted on that consistently, time after time again? And I think we could all honestly say that we don't. We try and we fail. And that's why we come to this table, is because we know it's so hard work that we come to encourage each other, come to receive strength from the table, but also from each other to encourage each other to receive and to experience God's love, and then go forth from here to love one another in a new and deeper way. But that's our project, right? Is to receive and accept that love and then go forth and be actors of that love. It's not enough that we come to church. You've heard me say that. It's so much more that we've got yet to do, and we get it wrong, but we must try harder and harder. So, and that's the ultimate relationship of friendship with everyone, that we're called to be forgivers, to be gentle, to be kind, to be loving and forgiving. You've heard me say this before, but I think it's the most wonderful measurement of our lives. It's the quote from St. John of the Cross that says, in the end of our life, the evening of our life, we will be not judged on how well we have lived, but on how well we have loved. Our entire project of life is that of to receive God's love and to pass forth that love to others. And in doing so, we are loving God. It is the only commandment for all of us that we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves.